All right, guys, go ahead and find your seats, and we're going to get ready to get started. All right, I'm going to say a prayer for us again and just prepare our hearts as we go to God's word. Let's pray. Father, thanks for this weekend, July 4th weekend, where we get to be together, and we just pray that you would bless this time and bless Pastor Brian as he brings us the word. Just pray that you would anoint him, fill him with the Holy Spirit to guide this time for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Pastor Brian and me, we go way back to our seminary days, and I actually have really fond memories of those times. And he's actually from Troy High School from way back in the day, so that's the connection with some of you. He was on the basketball team at Troy High School, so we used to play basketball together, and we actually worked on a project together in seminary. And I remember it was a missions class. We went and we went to a Hindu temple to interview the high priest there, and then they offered us some food at the end. And Pastor Brian looked at me and said, should we eat the food? And I said, let's get out of here. And Pastor Brian told me to eat Korean food after that. So that's kind of our connection. And so I'm glad he's here. So let's give him a warm welcome, and he'll bring us the word this morning.
All right. Thank you, guys. Oh, I love the testimonies, everyone who shared. That's awesome. Praise God. Amen. I've been married for a good 14 years. That's it. I got to check my ring every now and then. I wrote my date, so in case I forget, I go, okay, 14 years, okay? So that's one way to remember. I have three boys. We thought the third one was going to be a girl, but still ended up being another boy. I don't mind having another boy, but she's kind of done. So those kind of, she's no more. If we tried, we'd probably have another boy. That's something that that just kind of happens. But I do love that. Where's that? What was his name? Josh? Was it Josh? Where's Josh? Oh, I love basketball. Where's Josh? Was it Mike? That was Mike? Yeah, Mike. Yeah, I heard you coach, right? Yeah, I coached 2 years middle school too. So it's kind of fun. Presently, I also teach at a Christian school. I was for good, probably about 13 years. I was doing Christian school full time. I teach Bible and I also teach math. Okay, and I was also doing ministry on the side, and I was kind of doing both. And I was kind of also studying, but I had to slow down a little bit with family and all that. You get kind of busy. Okay, and just God's been doing some stuff. I've been getting a lot of rest, and it's been kind of nice. He called me out of the blue. I was just resting at home, summertime break, and he felt prompted by God to call me. I was like, wow. And actually, it was a blessing, and it was an encouragement. Okay, this guy is very smart, very nice guy, and it's just awesome to see what he has done, what God is doing through him and in this ministry. And I believe this church and what you guys are a part of, you're part of history. Can you say amen? All right, very important. I need you to get that. Now, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Acts 1. Let's kind of look through this. Acts 1. I love Acts. I don't know about you, but I love the book of Acts. If I could pick one book, this would be one of those books that I could just hold on to. I love it. I've read it again and again and again. I preached on it again and again. I study it, and I still love it. Because I believe if you understand the book of Acts, it's about the age of the church or the move of the Holy Spirit. You guys with me? Okay? Good. All right, so let me read this. I'm going to read one, probably a few verses from Acts 1, 12 through 14. And it says this. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. I'm going to stop there. Okay. Now, if you understand, we know that this passage in chapter 2, we know what happened. What took place? It was what? It was the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost came, all these things happened. It says what? There was like tongues of fire. And if you read it, let me verse, I want to read verse Acts 2:1. It says this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Okay. And the thing is, a lot of times we read chapter 2, but we miss what was taking place in chapter 1 in the upper room. Do you guys notice that? Let me read that in verse 14. It says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Okay. Any revival, any key revival, okay, the key to any revival is simply prayer. Amen? I actually went to Pomona, Cal Poly Pomona. Okay, I mean, any of you guys go there right now? Yeah, okay. Yeah, not right now. Okay, but I got in as a mechanical engineer. Okay, I actually got kicked out of UCI. That's another story. But I got kicked out of UCI, and I ended up at Cal Poly Pomona. I loved Pomona. It's a great school for engineering. But as I was going, I almost dropped out. All right. I almost dropped out. I got to a place where I was like 2.0 something. And then I took PE classes to raise my GPA. So I was like, all right. But besides that, God began to move, because that's a place where God began to really move upon my heart. And he began to get a hold of my life, you know. And what ended up happening is I ended up studying history. So I changed my major from mechanical engineer to history. And as I began to study history, one of the things, I mean, in high school, I didn't like history. But as I began to study history from God's perspective, right, I began to study these different revivals taking place all throughout history. Now, I'm going to share a few of those things right now, okay? Pentecost takes place, beginning of the church. The Holy Spirit begins to move, and the church begins to take off. During that time, yes, as the gospel is being spread through the apostles, through the disciples, and through this time, just going to the nations. Later on, we begin to see such reformations taking place. We see Martin Luther, his 95 theses. We see John Knox and his revivals in Scotland. I had the opportunity to study John Calvin. Okay, if you know who John Calvin is, very bright guy. He's a theologian. He was a reformer. And most people say, if you really study his theology, a lot of people have taken his stuff and kind of went to the extreme. Okay, do you guys understand that? And they call it Calvinism. And it was just great to study his stuff and read his stuff. During this time, we move on. It doesn't stop there. And this is, you know, just stay with me for a little bit. It's going to make sense. As we move forward, we begin to see the Reformation. We begin to see other things taking place. As you study American history, there was what's called the First Great Awakening. In this First Great Awakening, there was a man called Jonathan Edwards. He was a theologian. And here's a guy that God used very, very powerfully. He would sometimes read his sermons, but he would just, the Spirit of God would fall upon that place, and literally hundreds, thousands would receive and be convicted by the message that he was preaching. During this time, there was a guy named George Whitefield. If you know this guy, he was a guy, he was what's called a great orator. He would speak and in the open fields without a mic, and thousands would come to hear his message. And these great things were taking place. And I want to read this. The Great Awakening was a spiritual renewal that swept the American colonies, particularly New England, during the first half of the 18th century. Certain Christians began to disassociate themselves with the established approach to worship at the time, which had led to a general sense of complacency among believers. And instead, they adopted an approach which was characterized by great fervor and emotion in prayer. You guys with me? Okay, it's going to be a very, very constant theme. In 1792-1800, there was a movement by William Carey, Andrew Fuller, and John Sutcliffe, and other leaders who began what the British called the Union of Prayer. Hence, that was the year after John Wesley had died. The Second Great Awakening, if you know what that was. There was a guy, how many of you guys heard of Charles Grandison Finney? Anyone heard of him? Okay, besides him, right? He was a lawyer. He was kind of bald. He had hair here. He was bald on top. But he was a lawyer. He had these eyes, these eyebrows that would just kind of stare at you. It looked like he was just staring at you every time. He had this intense gaze upon you. And he was a lawyer who became and encountered, right? He encountered Christ, and he brought revival. He brought revival, okay? And let me read this. In September 1857, it says... Let me go back. McGreedy, there was another guy. McGreedy was such a man of prayer that not only did he promote the concert of prayer, but every Monday of the month, but he got his people to pray for him at sunset on Saturday evening and sunrise every Sunday morning. Then in the summer of 1800 came the Great Kentucky Revival. 11,000 people came to communion service. McGreedy hollered for help regardless of denomination. You see the key themes. You guys with me? I want to read a little bit more, and I'll get to some other stuff, okay? In 1858 to 1860, in September 1857, a man of prayer, his name was Jeremiah Lanfear, started a businessman's prayer meeting in the upper room of the Dutch Reformed Church, consistory building in Manhattan. In response to his advertisement, only 6 people out of a population of 1 million showed up. But the following week, there were 14 and then 23 when it was decided to meet every day for prayer. By late winter, they were filling the Dutch Reformed Church, then the Methodist Church on John Street, then Trinity Episcopal Church on Broadway at Wall Street. In February and March of 1858, every church and public hall in downtown New York was filled. Started with one man. You guys with me? Good. The Welsh Revival, 1904. And I want to go through a lot of these real quick. But for the evangelicals around the world who had been praying for the outpouring of the latter rain of the Spirit as promised by the Old Testament prophet Joel, the spectacular results in Wales suggested that the Great End Times Revival had begun. In Azusa Street Revival, how many of you guys heard of that? 1906. Okay, and there's a recurrence for those who went to L.A. How many of you guys went to L.A.? Call. Me and my wife went to that. My wife had some friends who came by. My wife went to that. My friend prayed for my wife. My wife was on the ground for a good 30 minutes, and she had an angelic angelic vision of what worship was like in the heavenlies. Okay, so it was a great thing. But let me share this. The Azusa Street Revival, 1906. The neighborhood, okay, if that didn't grab the reader's attention, the article continued by saying that colored people and a sprinkling of whites composed a congregation, and night is made hideous in the neighborhood of the howlings of the worshipers, who spend hours swaying forth and back in a never-racking attitude of prayer and supplication. So you see this constant theme. And see, a lot of us, we don't notice that, oh, there was Pentecost that took place, that moved the church in a very powerful way. But once again, prior to those events, there was prayer. Continuous prayer. How many of you guys heard of the Calvary Chapel movement? Okay? You are a part of history. Do you understand me? Okay? See, we hear the story of Chuck Smith and how this church of 25 members grew to what? Close to 2,000 churches around the world, okay? We hear how God uses God, but the thing is, there's a backstory to this. See, the thing that we don't hear about is there was a bunch of grandmas praying for Chuck Smith that took this ministry of 25 people to what? 2,000 churches. You guys with me? That gave birth to what? Eventual what? The Vineyard Movement. Okay? You are a part of history. And I believe you are still called to make history. Are you with me? I study these movements. I love, my heart is revival. I want revival. I want revival. It says, we want to see passionate pursuit of God and a massive salvation in our church, our city, and in our world. You guys have it right. That is God's heart, to see massive salvation taking place in a city. I believe it. I ask you, any revival, these are studies done, any revival that takes place, there's a couple key things. One of those key things was a passionate worship, strong intercessory prayer. Strong intercessory prayer. So I ask you again, before this Pentecost took place, what were these disciples doing? What were these disciples doing? Good. We need to understand that. We need to get that. I want to look into that a little bit. If my PowerPoint kind of helps, hopefully. This it's a weak PowerPoint. I didn't have much time. So. All right, here we go. Thank you, sir. Just push this. Oh, awesome. Here we go. First one. These people, these believers, were in one accord, one mind, one heart, and passion. Now, if you understand Acts and you look into the book of Acts, Acts 1:8 is the key verse. It says what? God, Jesus is telling the disciples, saying, hey, wait for what? Wait for my gift, this gift of what? The Holy Spirit, that you may be my witnesses. And if you read that passage carefully, it says, you will be my witnesses. A lot of times we don't see the deeper language of the Greek, and what that word you is saying is it's saying you all be filled, you all wait for my gift. And it's talking about you as one. And as we continue to look, what you're going to notice in Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. That union, that oneness. In Acts 2:42, right after Peter preaches, 3,000 come to know Christ. What do they do? Do these disciples stop praying? What does it say in Acts 2:42? It says what? It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Once again, they were one. One. In Acts 4:24 through 25, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. They raised their voices together. You guys with me? When I was going to Cal Poly, and like I said, first 2 years, I was not a good Christian. I was kind of wandering. Okay, my only thing, I wanted to grow up my hair super long. I had my hair down to here. I wanted to go to class Tuesdays and Thursdays so I would have a 5-day weekend. That was my goal. I was a little lost, right? And I, like I said, I would go to class with sunglasses on. I wanted to sleep in class. And there are things that I did that one time I didn't show up for a final. I just said, I'm going to fail, so I'm just going to sleep in. Those are some of the things I did, right? But God began to turn my heart and turn my life around. And he began to get a hold of my heart. And I began to study. As I began to study, just he awakened my reality and where, while Jesus walked this earth, okay? He actually walked this earth There was all these things that he did, all the incredible things that he did. There's secular books written about Jesus where these secular books talk about there was this guy, Paul, something happened to him. It was in, and it's not a Bible, but these other secular historical books describing Paul and what changed with this guy. These are outside sources besides the Bible talking about these things. So God began to work in my heart. And God began to work. And then one summer, I had one, I was beginning to pray with a friend. I believe God wanted to do something on that campus. And I began to pray with a friend during the summertime. And we began to meet every week just to pray for an hour. We would ask God for a revival. Lord, we want you to move on this campus. We want you to do something. As we began to pray in accordance, and we began to talk to people, other believers, we began to talk to Campus Crusade for Christ. You guys know them. Campus Crusade for Christ, Bill Bright. And we began to meet with their leaders. We began to talk with what's called, I think it was, and the Black Gospel Choir. We began to get them involved. We began to talk to what? There was AA Christian Fellowship. You guys should know, right? Korean Christian Fellowship. Okay? Korean Campus Crusade for Christ. Chinese Formosan Christian Fellowship. And we began to meet with these other people. And we began to do, and we began to look beyond some of the differences. You guys with me? And as we began to pray on the campus, we began to pray, we began to go to the dorms, we began to pray for the professors on the campus. We began to lift up the students on the campus. You know, because I would talk to some of the freshmen, incoming freshmen, or some of the students who lived in the dorms. And they would tell me, like, about 50%, some of them were smoking pot and marijuana. You just know what it smells like. Okay, not saying I did it. You just know, right? And they were telling me these stories that these things were taking place in the dorms. We began to pray and to really lift up these freshmen. There was a professor. He's the one that actually gave me a recommendation. Dr. Sam Lowe. He's not there anymore. But he was a Chinese. He was a psycho. He taught psychology. Okay? Right? Not psycho. I got to be careful, right? All right. But he taught psychology, and the amazing thing, as we began to pray, we began to get connected. I began to get connected with these professors. And as we began to talk to all these different groups and all these different ministries, we began to have a vision for what God wanted to do. So let's have a Christian week. And so we would have a week, we set aside this quarter, where we would meet. Each night we had one group host something or someone else host it. We will all be a part of that. We did this for about 2 years. And we would invite a band to come, a Christian band to come play at a secular campus. Are you with me? They would come and there would be people evangelizing, going out, and we would be sharing the gospel. These were some of the things taking place. 1 year. This was awesome. How many of you guys know Raul Reese? Who knows Raul Reese? Okay, how big is his church? It's huge. Okay, his church is about probably maybe 15,000 now. Okay? And it's crazy. We prayed. He said, let's, because his church is right here in Diamond Bar. It's super close to Pomona. And we're like, let's invite Raul Reese to speak to us, to speak to this generation, speak to the kids, the college students. And we know, and you got to understand, this guy is busy. When you have a congregation of 15,000, you're going to be pretty busy, okay? And here's a guy, he was actually what? He was actually in South America doing a lot of evangelistic crusades. And he, because that's his heart. His heart is evangelist, but he's also a pastor. And the thing was, we're like, you know, but let's step out in faith. Let's ask God, because God is bigger. Are you with me? If he can move his heart to come to our campus, we believe that. We pray for that. Guess what? In the middle of his crusade, you got to understand, in the middle of his crusade, God had spoken to him and said, you need to come and speak to this campus. He came and spoke to us. I was blown away. I was like, whoa, I wasn't, we just prayed. We asked God. God moves people, no matter how big they no matter how busy they may be. You guys with me? It started with just me and my friend praying. Just me and my friend in unison, gathering these other groups in unison, in one accord. I believe that when we pray in oneness, when there is a oneness, God does great things. Dr. A.T. Pearson once said, "There has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin in united prayer." Let me recount what God has done through concerted, united, sustained prayer. Secondly is this. There it is. Be persistent. The believers were persistent in prayer. If you read that, verse 14, it says they continually. It's a word that means it's proskar tera. It means to adhere to one, to be his adherent, to be devoted to or constant to one, to be steadfastly attentive. Okay? To give an unremitting care to a thing, to continue all the time in a place, to persevere and not to faint. In Matthew 7:7-11, it says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" And you got to understand that passage. It's a continual asking. It's a continual seeking. It's a continual thing. Continual knocking. And this took place, I know of a pastor, my pastor, he was my mentor right before going into seminary. About a good 20 years ago. That's a long time. Okay. And I love school, but he told of a story how he prayed for his sister and his brother for a good 10 years. 10 years. And he prayed in a radical way. He prayed that his sister and his brother would radically encounter God. And he shared how his sister was taking a shower and literally Jesus showed up. Are you guys with me? I kid you not, she was blown away. That's how he prayed. He prayed that she would have a radical encounter. God showed up. You got to understand, this pastor was the one who literally, he was very religious. He knew a lot. He went to church, whatever. But he had an encounter with visually the light and the glory of God came about. You guys with me? Okay? Visually, the light and the glory of God. I remember praying when I was sick, because Dennis it's a connection to Dennis, and I remember when I was sick, I had allergies, and I had praying for it was I would break out in red spots, okay, and one time it got so bad that right after my youth service, I had a difficult time breathing, and because of this, I had to call an ambulance. My friends came and kind of supported me and all that other stuff. They came, and what they did was the ambulance, they put an IV in me. They put an oxygen mask, and I told them, and they told me half my lung had collapsed because sometimes allergies affect inwardly and also outwardly. You guys with me? Okay. And for a year, it was painful. Seriously, I would sometimes break out in rashes like this, really big rashes, and all over my body in places that, you know, the sun, where the sun don't shine, okay? Let's just say that. But I remember for a year, I was asking God, "Lord, I know you, I've read your word, and I know you can do this." And I remember I had him speak at my retreat. And I was like, "Hey, you know, can you pray for me?" Because he carried a small bit of anointing and healing. I was like, "Pray for me." And he prayed for me. After that, it was gone. Can you praise God? And And I met my wife right after. So it was kind of a double blessing. So I kind of remembered that from that. But persistent prayer. Thirdly is this. Let's look. Pray without what? Amen. I know that Thirdly, fervent in prayer. The meaning is what? To be fervent in prayer is what? A passionate intensity. So asking God, I was like, what can I think of a passionate intensity? And so the only thing I could think of was Jesus when he was praying at the Garden of Gethsemane. When he was praying, what was he doing? He was sweating blood because he was so intense. He was so stressed, all that. But he was being passionate. Okay? There's a passionate intensity about that place. I believe I'm Korean, and one of the things that I've learned or I've picked up from the first generation Koreans is one of the things that they do is they do what's called morning prayer. In Korean, it's called sebekido, where the congregation would gather 5 a.m. every day. Okay, me as a young pastor would try to avoid that. I'd be like, I got other stuff. All right, I have work, I have all this other stuff. But Saturdays, I had no excuse. So sometimes Saturdays, I would have to go and attend. But one, they're being passionate about prayer. They understand that. Yoedafo Gospel is one of the largest churches in the world, probably about 8,000, close to probably a million members. And one of the things that they do, every weekend, there are 3,000 people gathered together in prayer caves. Okay? Leaders from here go there to listen to how they pray and the things that they pray for. How many of you guys heard of IHOP? Anyone? Yes. 24/7. 24/7. A passionate fervency. Okay? A passionate intensity. Are you guys with me? Passionate. Lord! We're saying, Jesus, please! Move in this city! Are you guys with me? Lord, move in this city. Move in this person. Move in my family. Because my family is far from God. I need you to do something. Because that's who you are. You are bigger and greater. Okay? Sorry if I scared the young ones. Alright, here we go. Lastly is this. That's passion. When he's praying on the cross. Hungry. I believe one of the things is you need to be hungry. You need to be hungry for God. Guys, there's more. You know, I'm going to share a few stories. There's more to God. Seriously. I've seen God do some amazing, amazing stuff. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. In my 20 years of ministry, I've seen God heal. I've seen his glory. We were at a revival. There was like a couple churches at the same street, and they were having worship. Remember, the presence of God was so strong that literally my wife began to fall in the presence of God and in the glory of God. But what was crazy, she was in front of me. I was in the back, and then as she was falling, I also felt the same presence. I also began to feel in the presence of God. My friend caught her. My friend caught her and kind of laid her down. I just fell. Nobody caught me, but I didn't care because we were both on the ground enjoying the presence of God. Okay, I had a girl, she came down from San Jose. I had the opportunity to speak in San Jose, and as I was praying for people in line, I was beginning to pray for her, and she told me, this girl told me, hey, do you remember me? I was like, I don't remember you. Can you tell me? He says, you led me to the Lord. You led me to the Lord. And you got to understand, I was at a point where I was kind of discouraged. And I was telling God, Lord, I don't see fruit. So he brought this girl all the way down from San Jose. She was getting prayer. She was actually going to Biola for school, and she wanted prayer. And as she shared that, instead of me praying for her, she encouraged me. I fell on the ground in the presence of God. And she's like looking at me, "Pastor, pray for me." "What are you doing?" But God was speaking clear to me. There's fruit. And I was praying for a girl. "Are you hungry? Are you hungry for God? Are you with me?" There was a girl we would pray. I would pray for her. She had an elbow. Every time she would click her elbow, there was something. There was a lot of pain. And so during service, I called her up and said, "Look, we're going to pray for you. And we're going to see the Holy Spirit do some amazing stuff." So as we prayed for her elbow, she kind of freaked out because something moved. It wasn't later or 2 hours later. Right there and then, she was like, "Oh my God." Try to do a girl's voice, okay? But literally, she something had moved in her elbow, and the pain was gone. We were at a retreat. This girl had been struggling with a pain in her jaw, and she'd been praying for it, and we've been praying for it. My friend was down there. We were all upstairs, and all of a sudden, we hear this scream, and it's a girl, okay? She says, "Oh my gosh, oh my gosh!" And she's screaming and screaming, and she's screaming, and she's crying, half crying. And we're like, we all come down. We're like, "What happened? What happened?" "God healed my jaw. Something moved. My friend had prayed for her." I say, "Are you hungry?" You got to ask yourself, what are you hungry for? Because God, this God I know, is an amazing God. He's an amazing God. What I read in this Bible for me is true when it talks about how the dead were raised. Hey, listen to me. That's God. That is the God that you and I serve. We don't serve a powerless God. We serve a powerful God who has the power to resurrect hearts and lives and a nation. We need a resurrection in this nation. This is the God that you and I serve. We have to be hungry for Him. We have to come hungry. So, Lord, there's more. I believe, Lord, you want to do more. I want to end with a few stuff. I believe this. When we went to the call LA, it was amazing. I mean, it was tough because we rode the metro very early. Me and my wife were so tired. There was thousands of people. Just getting in was interesting, right? There was so many people, and it was just awesome. We got some good seats. But I want to share this. I believe when Lou Engel brought these people in that day, I believe there were several things released upon the earth. Okay. Five things, I believe. One of those things is revival. Come together and pray like that. I believe God is releasing certain things. One of those was revival. Second, reconciliation. Three, healing. Four, power and love. Fifth, joy. Unspeakable. You guys with me? I want to say, God is doing amazing stuff. On the news, all we see is bad news. But I'm telling you, God is moving around the world. In China, there are thousands coming to know Christ. They're hungry. I mean, you ever see a video of them when they get a Bible? There was this one video where literally they were crying because they have this Bible. You got to understand that. That's hunger. That's thirst. Crying because of this Bible. We have it. All kinds of translations in front of us. Take advantage. There's Reinhold Bonnke in Africa. There's a guy who's preached to 75 million people in his lifetime. A stadium full of people where literally thousands are falling in the glory and the presence of God. There are Muslims who are having visions and dreams of Jesus. Do you understand what it means for a Muslim to become a Christian? Do you understand what's taking place? They don't care because they've encountered the truth. You with me? And they're doing it, and they're seeing it. God is moving around the world. And I want to end with this, and I believe this, and I really prayed. I believe. I need you guys to read this with me. Can you read it together? One, two, three. Can you say amen? I believe that. And when I came and we were praying for a little bit, one of the things I saw is I saw a match. Okay? I didn't see this huge fire, but I saw this match. But that one match, I believe you are that match. Okay, I need you to get this. I believe this church, you guys are that match. And that match, once it gets burning, okay? And this is what I saw. You know how pits contain that fire? You guys with me? I feel like you're not supposed to have a pit. Okay? I believe that as you guys light that match, don't have a pit. Don't contain it, but let it go forth. Let it go out. You guys with me? That's what I saw for you guys. And I want to encourage you and bless you with what God wants to bring and do to you. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. I want to pray for some of you. I'm going to see what the Lord does. But be in a mode of worship, be in a mode of prayer. Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord. Continue to reveal your presence, reveal your glory, oh God. Can you tell me, what is your name? Simon?